Blog Talk Radio.
On the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby our sight. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from men? Can't you stand?
But the question is more, how do you get there? Do you get there by confrontation, violence?
Oh, is that the question you were asking?
Yeah.
See, that's another thing. When you talk about a revolution, most people think violence. Without realizing that the real content of any kind of revolutionary thrust lies in the principles and the goals that you're striving for, not in the way you reach them. On the other hand, because of the way this society is organized, because of the violence that exists on the surface everywhere, you have to expect that there are going to be such explosions. You have to expect things like that as reactions. If you are a black person and live in the black community all your life, and walk out on the street every day seeing white policemen surrounding you, when I was living in Los Angeles, for instance, long before the situation in L.A. ever occurred, I was constantly stopped. No, the police didn't know who I was, but I was a black woman. I had a natural, and they, I suppose, thought that I might be a, quote, militant. And when you live under a situation like that constantly, and then you ask me, you know, whether I approve of violence. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense at all. Whether I approve of guns. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. Some very, very good friends of mine were killed by bombs that were planted by racists. I remember from the time I was very small, I remember the sounds of bombs exploding across the street, our house shaking. I remember my father having to have guns at his disposal at all times because of the fact that at any moment someone, we might expect to be attacked. The man who was at that time in complete control of the city government, his name was Bull Connor, would often get on the radio and make statements like, niggers have moved into a white neighborhood, we better expect some bloodshed tonight. And sure enough, there would be bloodshed. After the four young girls who lived, one of them lived next door to me. I was very good friends with the sister of another one. My sister was very good friends with all three of them. My mother taught one of them in her class. My mother, in fact, when the bombing occurred, one of the mothers of one of the young girls called my mother and said, can you take me down to the church to pick up Carol? We heard about the bombing, and I don't have my car. And they went down, and what did they find? They found limbs and heads strewn all over the place. And then after that, in my neighborhood, all of the men organized themselves into an armed patrol. They had to take their guns and patrol our community every night because they did not want that to happen again. I mean, that's why when someone asked me about violence, I just find it incredible. What it means is that the person who's asking that question has absolutely no idea what black people have gone through, what black people have experienced in this country since the time the first black person was kidnapped from the shores of Africa.
All right, welcome, peace, power, and love, family. I am welcoming you all to the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Melvin Steary Jr. And I want to take time to welcome my guests, all those who listen overseas, Israel, Brazil, Russia, still watching y'all, Russia. Y'all just didn't do right, but it is what it is. Israel, South Africa, all the countries, Canada and the United States. Also want to welcome my Activate Media family who gets this broadcast replayed on Fridays at 9 p.m. out of Boston, Mass. And thanks again, Patrick, Brother Patrick, for bringing me on board with the Activate Media family. I am... just want to touch on something real quick before I get into tonight's show. I'm trying to figure out what's really going on with us, the situation that happened in Mexico with the young lady, Chanquel, I believe is the sister's name, being murdered by some of her own. And I talk about this from time to time, but I just really had a big spill on it a couple of weeks back, the black-on-black violence, the black-on-black crime that really needs to cease in order for us to get ahead. And this bothers me because it reminds me of the same situation that happened about 2 years ago with the sister in Atlanta that ended up dead. But it was a house full of the other kind of people, and nothing has really ever come of that case either. But this one bothers me because of the video that came out first the lie that they told the girl's parents that she was died of alcohol poisoning. And then the video comes out with this girl just meleeing on her, you know. And then another thing that bothers me, instead of us doing the right thing, we'll film some shit. And film don't lie. Now, they got a bunch of different stories that they have told since this particular incident has happened. And none of them make sense. None of them sound truthful. And my whole thing is, why can't we get along? What is it that we have to do damage to each other for? And this case, I'm going to be keeping an eye on this and probably will bring you a longer show concerning this matter and others as well. But we have, I'm just tired of watching us do the worst. We do the worst, and then we cry for better days. And that really bothers me, because what is it that, you know, provokes us? What is it that makes us treat each other the way we do? I don't get it. Anyway, I'm done with it. And like I say, I'll probably bring this show to light on next week. Also, for those of you who may be listening online, if you would like to call in, be a part of tonight's discussion, if you may have questions tonight for my guest, Sister Peditra and Brother L.A., we'll be talking finances, and I'm going to just give them my hour if it takes that long, and let them bring you their financial bill. And also, if any of you may have questions that will call in, they will be available for questions as well. So at this time, I see that they are on. I'm going to open up their mic, and I'm going to let them have the floor. Welcome to the show, and I appreciate you all for coming on. And I just want to welcome you, and I'll let you have the floor. Are you there? Hello? Okay. Well, I'm guessing that they may be, I don't know, they may have the phone muted or whatever the case may be. I will continue on and let's talk about a few things. Last week, I talked about the whole Kyrie Irving situation. And then on last Thursday, my brother Kevin came on, actually did his broadcast, and covered the buck-breaking aspect of what's happening with our brother Kyrie, which it is a 2022 version of buck breaking, you know, do what we say or we will shut you out, close you down, make you know who you are in our world. And I want to say this too. Sister, whenever you all are ready, if you can hear me, just press the 1 and I'll open your mic back up. So something that bothered me on last Tuesday, I was up watching television and Steve flipping through channels and I saw a show I never watched. And when I say never, I mean I never watch it. Stephen Colbert, late night show. And he had Jon Stewart, the one of them fake Jews on there. And what bothered me about their dialogue was that they were laughing at our pain. And I won't say, well, I will say our, but laughing at Kyrie's pain. They were making jokes about the situation that he's going through right now. And then I got on Facebook the next day and I saw, and nothing surprises me when it comes to those people, the things that they say and the things that they do, is, and then they wonder why people behave towards them the way they do. They wonder why people are not receptive to them. It's because of who they are and how they are and the shit that they say and the things that they, you'll have to Google it because I really can't remember a lot of what the fake Jew Jon Stewart was saying, but they were, you know, derogatory towards Kyrie. And another thing that I want to say is, how can an anti-Semitic-ass country give a damn about anti-Semitism? Because America birthed anti-Semitism towards us, and have they never done anything oppressive to these fake Jews? The synagogue of Satan, as scripture refers to them as. And that is exactly what they are. You know, they control everything. And not only that, they have absolute power. They have so much power that they make white people act right. The racist white people. You saw over the last 2 or 3 weeks, several come to the defense of the fake Jews, the Jewish people. Not the Jews, but Jewish, like the show Blackish, or, you know, with the ish on the end of it, means it is like something. Doesn't mean it is something. It means it is like something. So these fake Jews wanting to be like the Jews, but there has come a time right now, we're in the midst of things being revealed. We're in the midst of revelation. We're in the midst of seeing truth come to light. And so much truth is coming to light right now that the devil is ducking and dodging. And when I say the devil, you all know who I'm referring to, those racists, because I don't put you all in the same basket like most of you all do with us. And just the whole nonchalant attitude of white America. And see, this is something that I've said on several occasions. You all will never understand our pain or try to correct your wrongs until you are suffering the same fate that you have caused others to suffer through. See, you all don't have to worry about your kid leaving the house and not coming back. You all have the privilege, because this country that you all made, not built, but that you all made happen. Okay, I open the mics. I will cut the dialogue and open the mics back so that you all can give your financial spiel. Let me, my guests are on. I'm going to open the mics again and let them have the floor. Hello, are you all, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
We're on.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay. All right. I don't know what the deal was. I had opened them up a minute ago, but I don't guess y'all could hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you.
But these,
we can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay. Sorry for being late.
No problem. No problem at all. Okay, as I promised people, I'm going to let my guests have the floor, and I will discuss what I was discussing at a later date. But welcome to the show, and the floor is you all.
I kind of wanted you to continue where you were at, and I just want to piggyback off you.
No.
Yeah,
I'm gonna let
good.
Y'all.
You were going in.
Yeah, I'm gonna say
good.
That one.
Man,
yeah, I'm gonna
I
say
was
that
ready
one.
To get filled.
What'd you
well,
say?
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you for having us. Again, we apologize for being late. You know, things came up and we went over into our schedule, and I'm glad that you are allowing us to even just be a part of your podcast, and there'll be many more times that we can get on, but like you were going in, like you never know if your child is going to come back home, so you got to prepare for days and times and stuff like that. So yeah, you were doing great. I want you to go ahead and finish with your thought process, what you were saying, and then we'll come in after that. Because it was good. Sorry about that.
I hear you, sister, but I'm gonna let y'all do what y'all do, because I'm only do an hour. I'm only gonna
okay.
be able to do an hour, so I want to let you all go ahead and you know, give you all financial advice and the opportunity.
Okay. Well, I'll go first, and then I'll allow Lamont to finish us off. My name is Parditra, and my husband here is Lamont, and we are on a mission to bring wealth back into the Black family. That's what we do. And we have to start with education, because a lot of Black families don't have access to information to create generational wealth. And that's very important. It seems like those skills and those ideas are attributes has been lost. You know, everybody chasing the bag instead of the bag chasing them. And that's a problem. You shouldn't have to work so hard for money, you know? your money to work for you, and that's what the wealthy do. They have access to information that would allow them to be able to allow their money to work for them. And we have access to that information by what we are doing. And all we are doing is just sharing what we know with the masses, and especially black families. So that's basically what we do.
All right.
All right,
I
piggyback
do.
On that, y'all. Okay.
Yeah, you go right ahead, brother.
No, you was gonna probably give me the way to come in, so I was waiting on you.
Well, I was just gonna say that I do on occasion and on several occasions talk finances and just how we have the ability to reparate ourselves as opposed to sitting and waiting and constantly begging this system to do something that is never done and in my mind is never going to do. It's never given us anything but a bunch of broken promises. And I always say that what we should really start doing is putting our egg in a basket and start reparating ourselves.
Yes.
Excuse me. Because what we do is we sell our time for money. And then when we get that said money, we don't even hold on to it for 8 hours before we give it back to this same oppressive system. And I always say that $1.3 trillion is a lot of money. And I actually was doing some research the other day and saw that they moved it up to $1.6 trillion. And I actually think that it's way more than 1.6. I think that we're more in the 2 trillion or 2.3 or 6 trillion as opposed to just that one. Because one thing that this capitalistic system will never do is tell us the truth about how much we spend, because in a capitalistic society, money is power. And just because we know that doesn't mean that we're going to react any different, because we realize that we pump $1.3 trillion, so they say, or $1.6 trillion. And that is, I always say it, nation building money. And when we were conversing offline the other day, you know, we both realized that, yeah, that would make us like the 8th, 9th largest nation money-wise. And we don't even recognize that power. We haven't even recognized our power through this jacked up political system. And once again, we displayed our voting power in these midterm elections by allowing the Democrats to keep the Senate. Yay, they lost the House, but I don't really do politics. I'm neutral because we get the same thing from Republicans. We get the same thing from Democrats. Nothing. Yet, we continue to participate in a selection system that selects us to be last and never allows us to flourish. And that's why I'm just so dead set on our people working together. And the things that, some of the things that we can do are effortless, because it don't take no effort for me to keep my money in my pocket. See, we need to get back on what the ancestors were on, recognition for our, of our need for one another. And then not only that, working together so that we can achieve goals, working together so that we can change conditions. Because honestly, we need to be investing in land. Nothing more, nothing less, because the land never loses value. And depending on what you put on that land can make that land even more valuable. You can put commercial properties, residential properties, you name it. But you got to have the land first. My thing is just starting a whole black community in several different cities. And within those communities, we build solar farms big enough to power those communities. We dig our own dam and our own water infiltration system so that we can filtrate our own water and have enough water for those communities, so that we can be off the grid and non-dependent on this system that's not going to give us anything anyway. And it's sad to say that, and I always say this, money is not the root to all evil. It's what people do with money that makes it evil. And
what it is time
for us to do is realize our power, our economic power, and really start to practice group economics, where that we can pool our money together and start building something that will be beneficial to us long term, and not these short term fixes that, you know, we are handed that are never long term beneficial. And with that being said, brother, I'm going to shut my mouth and I'm going to let you go into what it is that you do.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's great what you're saying too. I want to kind of go off what you're saying and tie it all in. You know, when it comes to our people, I see we need like a new Freedmen's Bureau. Okay, you know, right after the Civil War, during the Reconstruction, because that's where you start seeing the modern America is really right after Reconstruction. It takes to happen right at that point, right? And so we had like a Freedmen's Bureau where, you know, our people who were enslaved could have a chance to kind of like learn about not only like banking, but just get their minds reeducated to think like a human being would think. Because remember, for hundreds of years, we were treated like cattle. You know, and our thought process had to be, you know, redeveloped again. That never happened, you know, after that period. You know, it went down and closed out and all that good stuff. You know, after 1877, Rutherford B. Hayes made a deal with the Southern Confederates in order to, you know, get some political clout, took the Union soldiers out of the South, and then you got, you know, Black codes, Jim Crow, and all that other kind of stuff that lasted for the decades that it lasted. And so there's a point where we need to have a mental re-education, sort of like political re-education or political education, because we're really not educated. And everything we do starts first with the mind, right? That's why I used to say, as a Reconstructionist, our Reconstruction is reconstructing our minds and the minds of our people back to the values that, you know, are our traditional values outside of America, meaning not slave values, but, you know, our ancestral values, right? Community, coming togetherness, knowing that everything in the universe is one, and not separated like, you know, the colonizers taught, program us to think. You know, even though he applies it differently, he brings unity to, for his folks. You know, ours is separation. So it's basically taking control back, not relying on any other man or woman to dictate anything to us, but we got to do that for ourselves. It first comes through redeveloping our minds again. That's the first part. And then second, like you mentioned, land. Land is very important. There's no new earth being built. You got to have land. And when it comes to land, you either own or you rent, right? In America, the capitalist society you mentioned, you either own or be owned, right? There's no in-between, right? And so as the system is as it is, of course, we utilize parts of it, even though we choose not to really, you know, live according to their system. But we have to kind of use parts of that, and we can siphon that to build our own system. But before we can build our own system, we got to lay a foundation, right? Like when you mentioned about building a community, right? So that tells me in my mind, okay, we're going to need some civil engineers. Let's get our kids into civil engineering, you know. Let's get them into aerospace engineering. Let's get them into finance, because we got to know finance. And those things, we need legal. We need lawyers. You know we need lawyers. So let's kind of program our children to get into the fields where we need, right, so we can not depend on outsiders outside of our culture to do anything for us. We got to do it for ourselves, right? And so the money game part is important, because when everything you do, you're going to need capital. You're going to need financing. So if we can learn how money works and utilize that game, and we dominate that game, we can pour into our communities things that we actually need. You had mentioned repairing ourselves. We got to repair ourselves. No one's going to do it. The only time you see a country give reparations is when they're in a weakened state. And right now, there's not a lot of political power that we hold right now. We do hold the power, like you mentioned, you know, we allowed the Democrats to keep the Senate. But the big thing in this country, what people do is they're basically using their economic power to influence political power. When you don't have any money and we're broke, we don't have any political power, because the people who have the money are going to control the politicians. We look at the Chinese community. They don't march. They use their economic power, and they get things passed that we're not even aware of. It's not even publicized. But if you look at some of those executive orders that the Democrats do for everybody else, you can see some of the benefits they're getting by way of health, education, funds, grants, entrepreneurs, things like that, you know, capital in their communities. You look at their communities, you see banks. Like, you know, they have their own banks, right? We don't have those anymore. You know, we used to, but we don't have them anymore. I feel like we've kind of gotten comfortable. And that mentality of someone else is going to do it or someone's going to take care of it is going to be null and void. We got to kill it. Because we got to know the only people that can save us is us. And it first comes with a firm foundational knowledge of us and those things that's going to help us, you know, liberate ourselves. And so we say, if you're not economically free, are you really free? That's the real question. Right, and we know freedom first comes with the mind. Mentally, your mental has to be free first, and then as your mental free, you can be physically free. But the thing that restricts us now is the inability to have the type of capital to move the way we want to move. I remember when I lived in Ghana, West Africa, for 4 years, and there I did gold mining at that time. Right, and I've met a lot of politicians, political leaders, of course, military, things like that. And one thing there is, if you didn't have money, you had no power, even over there. The people who had all the power had the money. Now, like you mentioned before, money is not the root of all evil. It's how you use it. Money only amplifies what's already in you. If you're an a-hole, when you get money, you're going to be a supreme a-hole. If you was a generous person, you'll be a supreme philanthropist. It's also only going to highlight what's inside of you, right? And so learning the money game and learning how money works is going to be important for us, because, like we mentioned, we don't want to trade our time for money anymore. We want money working for us. And we have to know the rules to the game in order for that to actually happen. Right? The rich are doing it. In any game we know, we dominate. And that's what we want to do. We want to dominate the money game as well. Own our own. Not just participating with them. At the stat of how many times money circulates in our community, once in the town, right, in other communities 30, 40 times. You know, and that goes back to the mindset again. No one's going to save us but us. The only one that's going to do it is one of us, right? So it's important that we at least spread this financial education to people, because that's going to start to change their lives instantly. And when you teach them the money game, it's also the mental game has to be corrected also. Because using an example, let's say they said right now we're going to give $14 trillion to the black community. Without financial education, you're just going to give it right back to them. You're going to be buying Cadillacs, Hennessy, all these type of things, because we got to change the mindset, become more disciplined, and have that vision of where we try to go as a group or as a people. So that's part of my, what I'm saying about why it's important that we become financially educated, so that way we won't just burn through, even if we were to get reparations, we'll just burn through it without financial education. So we got to get the financial education. And a lot of times when you're financially free, your head is a little bit free. I can go ahead and donate to certain causes. We can fund our own schools. We can already build our own buses and, you know, teach our children and not and get them out of the enemy schools where they're being poisoned, you know, and the outcome is not what we want. I told Perdita a while ago, I said, we should do an experiment where we start raising some kids, teach them the real knowledge, and then the kids that are in the regular schools, by the time they're 18, let's see how these two groups function. One with knowledge is going to function differently, because you got to have the proper self-image, you know, our history, who we really are as a people that's been hidden for 400 years. We got to know those things, because a lot of our people just don't know. I talked to a 17-year-old kid. I said, you know, I was just giving him simple knowledge. I said, I asked him, who is Martin Luther King? He said, didn't he free the slaves? I'm like, uh-oh, we in trouble, y'all. We in trouble, because the young generation is not connecting to the historical memory, the historical consciousness, right? So now each generation is starting from square one with amnesia. These lessons have to be relearned. And so without a history, it's like what they say, it's like a tree without roots, without knowing your history. If you're not rooted, anytime the wind blows, you're going to be tossed here and there. So we got to know our roots, and we got to be able to take control of our lives and take control of our finances as well. Because the biggest part of our relationships, breakups, is over money, right? If we can learn money and teach that, we will probably have a better chance of man and woman coming together, being one. Because if the black man and black woman aren't unified, there's no black unity. So that's where it starts, with the black man and the black woman. When we become unified, then we teach it, and it spreads. So I don't want to take too much of the call, but it's just the importance of the financial piece. It's very important, as well as the personal development, the mental development piece has to also accompany that.
Right, right. I agree. And you said something that I've been saying here lately, because, you know, my daughter's 23, and she has a daughter now. And I'm like, not really, and I want to say this the right way, but, well, I'm going to say it the way I always say it, because I think people do understand it, because, you know, sometimes with our grandchildren, we get to make up for the things that we didn't get to do with our children. And I said this a few weeks ago, there was some around some brothers, talking with some brothers, and I said sometimes we may have to bypass our kids and go directly to their kids, because if we can start teaching them at 4, 5, and 6 and, you know, beyond truth, and then knowledge on top of that truth, financial knowledge as well. You know, those generations, like scripture said, will be weaker and wiser. And you look, because I watch my grandkids pick up a phone, an iPad, and work it like a champ. And they were like 2 and 3 years old at this point. So I say that because we, like you say, we've got to redirect their attention and redirect their minds about what's important and about what really matters, because the things that we think matter really don't, you know. And I said this on a post the other day. We teach our kids to entertain the enemy. You know, singing, dancing, sports, all that crap. And we've mastered that already. So it's time for us to master something else. It's time for us to master what our ancestors were trying to get to. And we've got to grab a hold of that and take it to that next level. Oh, I see my brother's got his hand up. Let me let him in. But we got to take and that generation, I'm going to say within the next three generations, I'm hoping that within those three generations that we will at least be turned around and headed in the right direction. And let me open up my brother's line as well here, because whatever we do, we master it. Whatever we do, whatever we touch, it turns to gold, you know. So I say that we do have to reprogram our youth so that they can know right from wrong. Then they will know what to do when they have the opportunity and take advantage of it. All right, brother, I'll open your line up. Let you get in here.
Peace to everybody. What's going on, brother, man?
All right. Peace, brother. I got brother L.A. and Sister Paditra on the line.
Yeah, I've
well.
Been listening for a little bit. And I love what the brother was saying. And peace to you both as well. I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second, because what you were saying is something I've been screaming at people for the better part of 10 years. And, you know, it's funny how many of them are starting to see that some of the things we were saying to them, you know, they're coming to light, you know. And then, but one of the things I always thought we needed to do was to retrain ourselves, because it seems that we keep making the same mistakes that the former generations were making, because we were never taught anything about financial independence or any type of independence. But financial independence was definitely something they didn't teach us. We were basically free to become part of the consumer base. And we took that on to a ridiculous point, to where now wasting money is the equivalent of the $2.5 trillion that the government counts on for us to spend every year. And, you know, for a government that really treats us pretty bad, but they take our money. So how do we shatter those illusions that people have about money, so that this way, kind of like, how do they clear out the malarkey, as Joe Biden would say, so that this way common sense thinking and common sense spending and learning how to save and spending money in the community, those things become part of our DNA.
Is that for me to answer that one?
Yes, that's for you to answer.
Okay.
Actually, I want to hear from both of you, because I love hearing from my sisters as well. But please, brother, enlighten me.
Okay. Yeah, I love hearing from it, too. I know what you mean. But brothers and sisters, we got to be balanced. It's the we have to rewire our brains when it comes to the psychology of money. You know, when we were young, you know, when you wanted money, you wanted some from your parents, usually it was to buy candy, right? You know, finally didn't get a nickel. I remember when I was growing up, now and later, it was a nickel, right? And I'd go to the little candy store, the candy shop, and get candy. And so we subconsciously start viewing money as equals to pleasure. So as we get older, we start spending money on things that give us pleasure, right? And it's supposed to rewiring it to think of money in a sense of saving it, investing it, and allowing it to grow. It's kind of like a child or your favorite project. You have a foundation, you know, you plant the seed, and then you see it sprout, and then you see it grow. And then when it grows and it starts multiplying, you're like, oh, yeah, I love to see the money grow and multiply, right? Because everything is be fruitful and multiply. But it's our psychology of how we viewed money in terms of having the incorrect view, as you mentioned earlier, basically being programmed to be consumers, and that came over time because, hey, we had the Negro Leagues. We had our own basketball leagues. We had our own insurance companies back in the day. And then when integration happened, as opposed to saying, well, we're going to open our markets to markets that were restricted to us, ours were given away, and we start becoming consumers of this other man's market, right? And thinking, like they should say, his ice is colder over a period of time. But it's rooted in our psychology of money and our miseducation about it. And that was done on purpose because the people who know how to master money and understand money are the ones they're benefiting from it. And it's only a small percentage of those that even know the knowledge. And that's why we say it's important for us to spread like the gospel how money works. Even if we talk simply when we explain it to folks initially because it's a concept we know most people aren't familiar with. But as they join us in the business or in the organization, we take it all away from money creation, Federal Reserve, what is leveraging, you know, what is the, you know, what is the discount rate, what's the prime rate, how do these things function? And these are the knowledge that we were denied for, I would say, since it's been open, since we were the first commodity on the stock exchange, right? And so by readjusting our thinking about money, the psychology about money, dispelling the myths about money, you know, money won't make you happy. Well, being broke definitely won't make you happy. You know, I'd rather be miserable with money than to be miserable broke because you're not going to be happy, right? And so just readjusting or reprogramming our thinking on money or the psychology of money is going to be real important to having us have a different perceptual relationship with it, which will allow us to master it as opposed to it mastering us.
Right. Exactly. To piggyback off of Lamont, we have to unlearn and relearn everything from the way we deal with money, even religion. Everything we have been, that's been instilled within us about religion, we have to unlearn and relearn that and be open to learning. That's another thing about Black people. Oh, it worked. My grandma, my big mom, my granny did this. My mama did this. So it's going. I'm gonna keep it going. No, they didn't have the truth. So we're gonna have to unlearn all of that, and be open to relearn. Be open to be disciplined. We have to be disciplined with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to learn to trust ourselves, and believe in ourselves. That's the number one thing. What is your belief system about you? What do you believe about yourself? And then moving in silence. We want everybody to know what we got. No, we have to move in silence. We have to be shielded so that whatever we do have, they can't come and take it because we are shielded. And unity is power. We got to learn to work together, work as a team. We got to get that community, that village back together. We have lost that, you know. Once somebody get the information, they don't want to share the information. That's not fair. You got to learn how to share information with each other and have that community vibe. I say this all the time. The slaves had more heart than we got. The modern blacks have today. They did work together. They moved in silence. They used to braid their hair in cornrows and designs to get free. They were moving in silence. We have to learn how to move in silence and be quiet and just get whatever we need to get and learn and get the knowledge because knowledge is power. That's something that they can't take away from us. So that's very important.
Okay, then I got to take it, you know, another step there. And okay, so I know, you know, as there's a lot of senders out there of information, good information. We don't have a lot of people that's ready to receive it. And a lot of people's argument is going to be, well, you're basically telling me to work within this system and to create a system that's similar to the system that we're under, which was a system that was never designed for us anyway. And so how do we pull that? Like you said, the slaves had to work together, and others, but that was because they were all under the same bondage. They were all, you know, treated as, you know, sub-citizen and everything, so they kind of had to do that. It seems that once we got out of the one of the levels of Jim Crow, because I don't think Jim Crow ever went anywhere, it's still here. However, it's been the devil's in a new dress, let's put it that way. And, you know, I was listening to what y'all were saying about getting, you know, people to do these different things and to unlearn. And I agree with all of that, don't get me wrong. But what do you say to the person who says, you're asking me to basically learn this system so that we can adopt it should we ever get the opportunity to separate and do our thing and create a system within this system and be more like the Asians and the Latinos and all of them who do seem to have very little problem working together for their you know, combined purpose. But we as black people don't do that. So how do we get back to that without having to go back to the cotton field?
It kind of goes back to what you said, the devil in a new clothes. Once you understand that, then it kind of resolves a lot of the other arguments they would have against that. Like when you said we were in bondage. We're still in bondage now. No one's here really free. Hey, look at Kyrie Irving. He can just share a link, and look, he's got a roar around him. He's a $40 million slave in that sense, right, because we don't own any teams, right? So any way it goes, they're going to be utilizing the system. If they're going to go to the store, are they going to buy seeds? Because we don't – I mean, where do you go to get seeds from? Monsanto's dominating that arena, right? I mean, anything you're going to do, you're going to be utilizing the system. When you drive your car, when you put gas in your car, you're doing the system. The only difference is you don't own any of it, right? And basically, you got to get to a point where you can create an alternative system. But if you have no economic power, you're not going to be able to really do that long. You can have a group of maybe 10 or 20 people that may follow and do that. But as far as the mass, it's not going to happen like that. And this system dominates the entire planet right now, actually. If you look at what's happened in Russia, for example, they have to cut them off of SWIFT, right, and everything else for them to be, you know, now they have to be self-sufficient totally for the most part. Even though they're resource-rich, they can do that. Biggest thing they have is a military. If they didn't have any military to defend it, they would have already been invaded. Right, and that's why you don't see troops coming over there trying to invade that particular territory. Right, they completely control the skies in Ukraine, but they have the military clout. But what they tried to do, the West was trying to sanction them, and I'm using this story just to kind of extrapolate lessons from that to what we're talking about. They, you know, they were able to, when the West tried to sanction them, they had the propaganda, of course, against them, you know, because they control the medias. Right, so we're going to have to combat that. Hey, look at the simple thing. We don't even control rap. The biggest influence of our kids is rap music, and we don't control that. We got to be able to control that, to move them where we need them to move. You know, I feel like it's a myth to think the masses as a total are going to be able to move. I always seen it as always going to be like the Pareto principle, the 20-80 rule. 20% is going to do it. 80% is just going to be bystanders, right? 20% are going to be the ones putting forth the action. The other 80% are just going to follow action. The biggest difference is our leadership has been corrupted and compromised and things like that. But it's always in every society you're going to have a leadership group. It's not something that has to be bred or you have to keep people out. It's going to naturally fall like that, right? There's only going to be a certain amount of people that are actually going to do the actual work. Majority of people are going to just talk about the work. Right, or comment about it, but they're not going to do anything about it, right? So for those, you're going to be using part of the system, but until you become economically self-sufficient, how can you create an alternate system, right? You're going to have to live in that. You know, you have people right now, when you say, hey, let's own our business. Oh, man, I got to stay conditioned to clocking 9 to 5. Right? That's the first start. So if you're still clocking 9 to 5, how are we going to separate and do our own? You know, it's going to be hard to do that. So I'll see it's going to have to come in stages, you know, first level, second level, excuse me, come in stages. Because just like anything else, when there's a change made, until the people are 100% dissatisfied, that's the only time you're going to ever have a 100% change. You're just kind of somewhat satisfied, or you're just angry because this man didn't let you into his playhouse, you know, that's not sufficient enough. As men and as women, we should want to create our own. But right now, I mean, how do you do that? Who's going to keep the planes flying? Who's going to keep the electrical generators on, right? So at a certain point, as you gradually are building your own, you're going to have to kind of utilize some of that part of that system to create your own system, right? Because just cutting off cold turkey, I mean, where are you going to get the engineering knowledge from? Where are you going to go to China, who got it from the U.S.? I mean, you know, what do you do? So you're going to use what you have and then create your own. But that's going to be gradual. And there's already a system in place that we could utilize where we help each other and we lift each other up outside of their system. And there's a system like that that exists now. And what we do is invite people into that system.
All right. And if I can ask the sister a question.
Yes.
Women are way better at dealing with budgets than men are. What would be the simplest mm-hmm. thing that you would tell a woman to start teaching her kids now so that they take good habits into their adulthood and kind of stop wasting money?
To be conservative, pay yourself first, you know. When you get paid, I have like different accounts that I work a full time job. My husband doesn't. He works our business full time.
Okay.
I still work a full time job because I'm in the dental field, so I'm passionate about that. That's outside the story. But my paycheck that I do have is used for our health benefits. I have money allotted for our health spending. Like, I have money allotted from my paycheck going into different accounts. Whereas it's paying me first in one of my accounts. We have an emergency fund. We have an investment fund. We offer my paycheck. That's what we do. It covers the health benefits and things like that. So learning how to allot your funds into different accounts and putting your money in funds that multiply, that have a higher rate of interest or rate of return, knowing where to place your money and which in accounts to put your money in and which funds and how to grow your money. So we will start like that. Like, break, and then you need to do a financial needs analysis. You need to know how much money you spend out monthly, or you need to know how much money it takes for you to live, period. You need to know that. Do a financial needs analysis. When you see it in writing, you will download it. And so once you see it and see how your funds are allotted, then you can start putting it in appropriate accounts with high interest rates. And that's
so what you think people should do is learn a little and learn what the yield rates will be and things like that and invest their money and make sure they're putting it in those type situations where it can actually work for them, and I agree with that. Let me explain who I am, so this way maybe y'all understand why I'm asking these questions. I don't want y'all to think some weirdo just called and I'm testing you guys.
No.
I actually started the Panther Party, and I did it with no money. I had very little support. I had a few people who did help. But most of it was funded, through trying to make things happen and getting people more active in their communities. What I mm-hmm. found was when you, if you spend $25 words with these people, you're going to lose them. You're going to lose them. So we have to kind of figure out a way to say the same thing, because I agree with what both of you are saying, but the problem is getting people to come. I want those seminars to be full instead of
right.
sporadic, and then, you know, only 50% of them are even going to hear what you're actually saying. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why I'd ask, how would you, the simplest way to put that, because I'm thinking – My people have been damaged to so many on so many that trying to give them something good, they're going to be skeptical of it. That's just the way we are. We've been taught to be accepting of everything else except us. You
right.
know, and then
exactly.
we do see those who are, you know, seem to have it figured out. Rather than try to emulate them, we get irritated by them. Because then we feel mm-hmm. like, well, they just left us here. And, you know, I'm like, you know, perfect example, Jay-Z assist in building the Barclays Center. And the sad thing is in Brooklyn, most of those people who work there, but they wouldn't be able to afford to go there and watch a Nets game, considering what it costs to have a night at Barclays Center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of got bothered that we're not – economically empowering the people that we want to work there to be able to go there and enjoy it as well. Some people will never go inside that building unless they're going to work, which
mm-hmm.
is going to always
mm-hmm.
have that chasm, you know? And I want to close that chasm somehow so that they can actually enjoy some of these things that are being put out there, because we do see the benefits of financial freedom. It's just we never get to feel it.
Exactly. I agree. I strongly suggest you have to meet people where they are, and we will start giving them a steal, whereas it's going to, while they're learning, they are making money at the same time while they're learning. And give them the skill in the financial industry. Because the financial industry, it's like $1 trillion industry. But a lot of people are afraid of finances. And we got to get out of that. We got to learn finances. We have to learn it. That's, if you want to be financially free, you have to learn finances. And it's just a little bit. It's not much. You just take a little coaching. You have to be coachable. You have to be willing to learn. And learn a trade. I got a trade. I teach CPR as well. Everything I could possibly, any trade I could do. And it's some things I don't want to do, but I do it. I didn't always think finances, but I'm learning it so I can make money in it. So I can learn how money works. The thing is to learn how money works. We live in a capitalist society. We need to know how money works. And people run from that. So
you know,
give them a feel.
I'm gonna add on what you said. Yeah, because, like, you know, we talk to so many people. First of all, you have to have the desire to want to improve yourself. Because you have people you give an opportunity to do something, they still won't do it. You know, because I used to be an idealist back in the day, you know, and then I became more a materialist, so to speak, right, you know. And so from that, I started looking at, you know, I was taught when I was in college, you know, they considered us the intelligentsia back in those times, right? And that's when the people recruited me when it came to political education. Just kind of give you a little background about me, you know, I started with the All African People's Revolutionary Party with Kwame Ture. I started with them back in 1991, around that time frame, and that's where I initially got political education, was through that.
Mm-hmm.
I learned geopolitics, things of that nature, you know, and so it always mm-hmm. stuck with me because I learned it at such a young, impressionable age, right? I'm 18, 19. I'm just trying to figure things out, and here I am. I got Stokely Carmichael basically teaching me about, you know, neocolonialism and imperialism. Dialectical materialism. I'm like, what? Dialectical materialism, what? Right? This just blew my mind. But like you said, there has to be a way you have to translate that to a layman's term so that people can understand. But one thing I do realize is that people got to want better. If they don't want better, it's not going to really happen, no matter what. So you can see that in raising children. You got some kids that are going to be responsive to you, some that's not, right? And so I look at it like, and I'm not so much into, you know, quote-unquote elitism in that sense, but it's like I do know there's going to be a cream. There's going to be people who rise to the top, and a lot of people aren't. And that's in any endeavor, any field, right? You know, there's going to be certain people that's going to want it bad enough that they're going to want to, you know, change their lives. We just want to give them an outlet where they can actually do it, where they can own something and actually help their families. And, right, and, you know, I looked at back in the old days when they used to have the policy games back in the day, you know, like Madam Queen and, you know, even with Don King, and he was a policy king back in the day. And I didn't know that the policy game spurred a lot of industries, accountants, insurance companies, because they had like a major industry that allowed people to not only make money but to branch off into other areas, to invest in other areas. And I was like, well, why not this finance game be the new policy game, so to speak, right? So that way we can teach at the center as a financial services hub that can spur off other industries, right? But everybody's still linked to a main industry. We got to have that, right? And then once we can have capital, then we can do it on our own. I look at like the DRC, for example, Democratic Republic of Congo. I'm really into the DRC. I believe that's like, and I know it's not, you know, outside the scope of this conversation, but I think that's part of the, you know, one of the original homelands. And, you know, a lot of the Congo fighters were, you know, one of the main people that sponsored slave rebellions, right, from the Congo. But, you know, when you look at the Congo, look at its economy, look at its resources, when the Belgian came in, and then later the French, they put a lot of missionaries in that country with no education. So there's a lot of raw material there that we're not able to, you know, add value to, so to speak, because of that. And so it helped me to learn that if we're not teaching our people certain skills, ways that money works, because you're going to have a bank of some type. You know, even the Soviet Union had a bank, right? You got to have some type of bank where, you know, we can invest in projects, invest in certain things, because that's just the principle. When you're a farmer, you're investing. You're sowing a seed, and you're expecting a harvest, right? Not all your harvest is going to grow. Not all those seeds are going to hatch, so to speak, if I can use the term hatch. Not all seeds are going to sprout. But if you throw enough of them out with the right type of soil, meaning the environment, then, of course, you're going to have a good crop. And, you know, people are kind of like that as well mentally. You know, we sow good seed into them. But the key thing is they got to want to improve, because you got a lot of folks. I used to believe everybody, you know, would need a chance, which they do. But not everybody's going to take the chance. Not everybody's going to want to self-improve. Some people are comfortable where they are. It made me think about Harriet Tubman. I would have freed more had they known they were slaves. I was like, what? That was an eye-opener for me. It was kind of like they didn't even know they were slaves. They just thought, that's just how life is. I'm like, man, and that's how we think right now. 100 years from now, we're going to know we're still in bondage, but we don't think of it as bondage because it's the new clothes, like you mentioned, the new technology of slavery, neo-slavery, where you don't own, you're controlled. And until we change our mindset first, and then we can change our material conditions, right? So that's kind of how I see it with the masses, is that, one, we need leadership that can rightfully re-educate and guide our masses. Like they used to call it back in the day, the vanguard. You know, the vanguard. They were the ones. I guess that was more of a Leninist idea or some type, but it was more that there was going to be a group, like the intelligentsia, that would guide and help out the revolution of the masses, right? Because like everything else in life, as you gain in quality, you lose quantity, right? Not everybody's going to be that A student. Not everybody's going to be that excellent rapper. Not everybody's going to have that great podcast. You know, not everybody's going to have that. But everybody has a niche. They've got to find their niche. And we got to be able to finance and help those people with their niches. But if we don't have any money, we're going to be looking for grants, fundraisers, or charity. But we don't need charity. We need to be on the grind and build our businesses and take care of business. Because, you know, like we said, without money, you're not going to be able to give. Well, I don't know our audience, so I'm not going to say too much, but I'll just say, you know, it's important to have currency. You know, I get a lot of people that still message me from my, I have a plant, cocoa farm in Ghana, and I have a caretaker of that cocoa farm. I help the kids, or I did help their kids when I was there, go to college, go to high, finish what they call secondary school and stuff like that, because they lacked the money and the resources to do it. They have the land, they got everything, they don't have the capital. And I mean in the economics version of capital, like machinery, you know, excavators, bulldozers, road pavers, those kind of things. And so my thing was, hey, over here, we may have some of the money and the capital, but don't have the land. There, they have the land, but they don't have the capital. It's a good mix. Hey, I could ship you two excavators. Excavators, I could retire in America with just two excavators, hiring them out overseas. And while I'm helping build, you know, I can get money doing that. We can get money doing that. Anyone can get money doing that, actually, and use the money that you get from that to build institutions over here. Right, but some way or another, that circulation of that currency is going to have to happen. We really can't deny it. I did for a lot of years, but when I went to Africa and I lived over there, I realized, man, the dollar's being strong and having currency, we can do a lot of good stuff over there as well as do stuff over here for our folks. Then we can learn to be independent from them, not to emulate. I say take the best of whatever civilization, whatever's good and works good, adopt it. Whatever's bad, throw it away.
We're Hello?
Starting off with a fresh start.
I totally agree with that. Eat the meat, spit out the bone. I got it. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to back up, Melvin, and let you take it back over. But my goal is that cream that's rising to the top, as you say, that it gets stirred back in and bring the rest of them up as well. Make sure that everybody's feeling some of that warmth that comes with that. A gentleman said to me recently, one of my comrades, we got to stop trying to wake up the sheep, and we got to find the lions. And I had to shatter something right then, because I said, I'm sorry, but that's not going to work, because the lions don't know they're lions. They think they're sheep. So we have to talk to the sheep to find out who the lions are.
Hello, can I say something?
I'm going to heal.
Hello, can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. We can hear you. Okay, this is Kimberly, also known as Kim J, and I just want to say I am totally enjoying and in total agreement with what everyone is saying, but when the gentleman started talking about changing the mindset, and then this other gentleman just mentioned talking to the sheep to find out who the lions are, I just had to chime in because I'm just dying over here, because I've been wanting to say, as far as changing our mindset, we have to start real remembering who we actually are. And what I mean by that specifically is that I think a minute ago someone mentioned, like, you know, all of the other little subcultures that have somewhat of an independence from the major, like the Chinese with their little China and all those, you know, all those different economical systems. Those people, in my opinion, actually emulated us. We're not trying to achieve what they have achieved. We have to remember that we were the ones who were attacked during the Black Wall Street Rosewood era. And we were attacked because our economic game was so strong that we were outdoing them. They attacked us, and it was only after that those other cultures were able to establish themselves to that level. We have to remember that's who we are. And they did it just by doing exactly what we're describing right now, which is we're going to have to use their system to come out of their system. They did that back then. It was forced because of segregation and everything, but they only used money outside of the system to buy their supplies, so that when things were built and established, almost every dollar stayed within our community. I'm just saying, we have to remember exactly who we are. We're not even emulating anybody else. We're trying to emulate who we once were. We're trying to remember, rather. So I just wanted to interject that.
If I could.
We talked about briefly.
You said something about Black Wall Street. I want to talk about the real Wall Street, where they used to line slaves up for sale. Quick note. New York, which is where I'm from, wanted to secede from the Union during the Civil War, just prior to the Civil War as much as the South.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why was because the insurance capital wasn't in Connecticut at that time. It was in New York. The slaves were all insured. Most of those slave owners had insurance policies with them Yankees that they hated so much.
That's right.
And what made me mention that was something that was said recently. One of my friends was telling me that his uncle does, he works on cars. You know, he's one of those, that AAA that goes out and, you know, fix your stuff. And said he had pulled up on a guy one day, not too long ago. The guy was had a Lamborghini on the trailer that he was pulling. And he was like, "Oh, you delivering this?" And he said, "No, it's mine." He said, "Come on, man, tell me, how you afford that a Lamborghini?" And this is a white guy. And the white guy said to him, he says, "I don't want to offend you with what I'm about to say. So you got to, you know, don't get offended, but I'm going to tell you what your people don't do that we do now." He said, because not every white person was rich back then, and not every white person is living off generational wealth from slavery. He said, "The thing that we do that you guys don't do, we keep in communication with each other and we take insurance policies out on each other, especially those who are sick." He said, "That's how we keep money in our families." He said, "You guys don't do that. And we've never understood why, because the insurance policy is going to cost you the same as it cost us. But you guys won't do that." And he said, "That's something I've always wanted to ask you guys. Why don't y'all work together?"
And that's the other thing I want to say.
I was kind of sit back and take it. All I could do with that one was think, okay, it's good to know that I'm not the only one asking that question, but it really made me hopeful that maybe there are some who might get the message that the more we communicate with each other, the stronger we'll get.
Yeah. Can I say
amen.
One more thing? Amen. Amen. And I say, y'all, we talked some good stuff. Melvin, can I say one more thing?
Yes, I'm still here.
It seems like it's getting to be about that time.
We keep going. Yeah, we keep on going. Go ahead.
Did we lose her?
No, I think she's still. Yeah, she's still there.
If she got a mute button on?
No,
I'm wondering if she has it on her phone. Yeah, I think it might be on her phone because it sounds like she got just like cut off in the middle of what she was saying.
Yeah, unless she's traveling, she could be moving, and then it, you know, might be kind of fading in and out.
Right.
Yeah. I got another call I'm going to bring in.
This conversation, I'm sorry, I got to get out of here. I got an appointment I got to do, and I would love to be back on the show if you invite us back.
Oh, anytime, brother. Just let me know when y'all would like to come back on. Anytime, y'all always welcome.
We appreciate it. I'm glad to hear the ideas, and the brother from New York, man, glad to meet you too. And, you know, I look forward to communicating with everybody again. Kevin?
Yeah, my name's Kevin Crosby. We can give you my information.
Kevin,
I'd love to talk with both of you guys because in roughly about a year, I intend to change economic statuses due to a death of my mother, and we finally got a law firm in that took the case without question, and they're going to swing for the fence,
okay.
So I'll be able to give a whole bunch of people their flowers before I die. I intend to try to set something going that can keep going long after.
Oh, my God,
after,
I done held a whole conversation and nobody heard.
You had faded out on us.
I mean, I done held a whole conversation, and then I looked down, and my whole button is on. I'm like, oh, my God, that was a good speech.
Yeah, you done gave us the cue for all the ails us, and we ain't hear none of it.
Yes, I'm over here taking a bow. Let me try to say it in a nutshell, because now I can't even remember everything I said. I don't even know where I left off. But bottom line, I'm just saying, we do communicate with each other. We just need to know what the real goal is, because we communicate from survival. And that's the message we communicate amongst each other. There is no culture where everybody gets along and everybody supports each other, but they do respect each other, and they do communicate on a whole nother level. We are still stuck in survival mode, and they keep us going in that circle. So I think that that's one thing we also need to work on that will help us build our economic game.
Well, I love us communicating, but I want us to communicate from a love standpoint rather than survival. Our survival counts as communicating from a love standpoint, because if you love something, then you want to protect it, you want to nurture it, you want to take care of it. And we got to get there with each other so that any of these great things that we're talking about can actually get implemented sooner than later, because we're running out of time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Caller 3736, opened up your mic. Can you turn the TV down in the background?
No, let me go, because just my grandmother got this TV and things up. Hold on. 1 second. You all, I'm just going to say this real quick. I just enjoy the conversation. I'm not going to talk too much because there is a lot of background noise going on. Yeah. But it sounds, everything sounds good, bro. So I'm just going to say we're going to make it. We're going to do what we got to do to, you know, to bring everything together. So that's actually what I wanted to say. And that's pretty much it. I just wanted to cheer everybody on tonight. That's all. I ain't going to talk too much, and that's it. So that's all I want to do.
All right.
Sister, we need you on the field with us.
Oh, yeah, baby, I'm on the field. I can talk. Melvin, no, I'm a speaker. I just don't feel like I need to be saying too much right now, because if I start talking, we might not get off the phone. Because I'm definitely there with you.
The time I'd rather run out hearing something I need than hearing something I don't.
Yeah, Paditra and Lamont had to get off. They had another appointment, she said, at 8:30, but I'm going to try to bring them back on here in the next couple of weeks. And then, too, brother, I have her number, so I can try to get us on an offline call to where you can talk with them a little
yeah.
bit more about what it is they do. Because I actually had a conversation with both of them on Sunday night. And I'm like you. I'm just waiting on these doctors to diagnose what they're going to do about my back, because the lawyers are waiting on them. And I'm like you. I want to take some of that and make sure that I don't ever have to bend over and, you know, break my back again. I got this business already pretty much lined up, and, you know, the thing that's been holding me back is just the extra capital to get it done, you know, and that's so many of our dilemmas. You know, we have good entrepreneurial ideas, good business ideas, and we just lack the capital to get them going, You know, and that's why, too, in the beginning of the show, I was saying, you know, we really need to start putting all our eggs in the basket. And really, truly, like you said, brother Kevin, we need to figure out who the lions are and get rid of all the sheep, you know. And that's a true statement, because it's a lot of us out here right now that are awakening to a whole different way of living, but we lack the capital, you know. So I'm like you. I want to be able to give away some flowers and sow some seeds and try to make the people who are around me especially a little better than they were yesterday and the day before, because honestly, we all we got out here. And I've been saying this for the last few weeks. We ain't never needed nobody, truth be told. Everybody's always needed us. And now we really need each other. And what we have been supplying for everybody else unwantingly, we need to start giving that to one another. You know, I think it's imperative that we get financially and economically sound, you know, because this is a capitalistic society. And in order to maneuver, you got to have capital, you know, because, yeah, me and my queen were talking the other night, and like I was telling her, yeah, I would love to have hit that $1 billion lottery. But I said I'd have took and bought me up land everywhere that I could find land. And I'm all for the gentrification, because we need to be around each other more. We need to have the safety of being around one another. We need to weed out the bad elements, but we do need to pull ourselves closer to one another as well, so that just for safety's sake. And then, like I was saying, within these communities, hey, build solar farms, build a big enough solar farm to where you can run the whole community off of that solar farm. And then what you can do is exclude these electric companies. And then don't even try to hurt and break your people, because the sun is going to provide your energy. So you charge them an electric bill. Charge them $100 a month for electricity, because we're getting it for free. You know,
I want a situation where I don't have to charge them at all. I want a situation where they don't have to be charged at all.
If possible, yes, because some of us.
I know that's right, brother.
Well, get the recipe. Some of us will get the recipe, and instead of sharing that recipe, we'll keep it to ourselves. And we all like to cook. I don't know a black person in America that don't like to cook, but we won't share them recipes for success. You know, we'll give them that damn recipe that don't everybody like, but that one that everybody like, we try to keep that to ourselves. And I used an example the other day when I was talking to these brothers. I said, like, you take Boyce Watkins. He got a system, a good money-making system, but what do? They want to charge the poor people for that system.
To get,
now, I'm not saying
that's right.
Exactly. You know,
exactly.
And this is my thing.
I don't want to be that guy. I'm not going to be that guy.
Exactly, because if I figure out the recipe, you better believe I'm going to give it to as many people as I can, because I don't want to be the only one up there, and I want to look to the left and the right of me and see some people that I know, or if nothing else, at least some people that look like me, because that's what enough of us don't do. Some of us, like I say, we'll figure it out, and then we want to sell it back to our people. I was listening to this sister gave a great spiel on YouTube and lost me in the last 2 minutes, because she said that I can sell you this information for $5,000, and that's a good investment. That's a good price for what you're going to get. Well, see, what you don't get is that it's going to take, once you give her that $5,000, it's still going to take some more steps to get to where you need to be. And that's why I say we got to stop being so capitalistic amongst one another and start being capitalistic toward other ethnicities as well. And just like Sister Padita was saying earlier, you know, and I say this a lot too, you know, me and you, Brother Kevin, we talked about this several times, you know, segregation killed us. Segregation killed the black community because we wanted to experience something that we had never experienced before, which was sitting with them people. And then once we got to sit with them.
We did better when we were segregated, trust me.
Exactly.
Right.
Didn't bring us nothing but more trouble and more heartache. That's all it is.
You see, the problem I have with this whole capitalist thing is that all of this shit that they're selling us, they got for free.
That's right.
Bam.
They took it.
Bam. He said that.
So, you know, issue with it. So I can respect financial folks talking about, you know, that because we have to work within this system. But fuck this system and fuck your finance shit because this money is a piece of paper. We don't even control the value of that. And our problem
now we've been dictating
the value of everything, including the value of us, and now they got us doing it to each other. I want to share all of that shit because everything we need is provided by this planet. We don't need to buy anything. Everything we need is free on this planet.
Now that's church. Preach it, brother. Preach.
Now what? I shabba dabba dabba do.
Girl,
that's
now
why
we talking,
when I
brother.
Get this money, I'm gonna make sure that when I die, there ain't nothing left because everything I done did, I done put it out there so others can take it and move forward. But my object is to create a community where money, shit, that shit is illegal here.
Now we talking. Hey, boy, you got us over here shouting.
Speak on, brother. Yes, sir.
So I appreciate that, sister, but I want everybody thinking along that line. I want us all thinking that way because that's the only way that it's going to work. That's the only way to work. We can grow everything that we want to eat. We have a planet that's 7/8 water. 7/8 of this planet is water. The sun, even when it's not facing you, will still get them solar panels and to charge up those batteries. We don't have to. The shit that they sell us, they don't own it anyway.
Never did own it. See, that's what I'm talking about when I say we need to switch up this mindset and stop accepting the stories that they tell us. We need to, you know what I'm saying? They got us thinking, they got some of them sheep thinking that they own this stuff. It's their stuff. No.
Right.
You got it for free because you stole it.
Right.
Man, oh my God,
Wait a minute. Let me throw in some words that nobody don't know that I done made up my own self and use the penalism and the paperism to say that they own something.
That's right.
Just because they write it down.
The penalism.
And penalism.
That's right.
We on the penalism. The what?
And that's correct. They write stuff in the law, they write stuff in the this, and then they say, oh, you got to follow this. You didn't follow that, so therefore we're going to fine you. And they're fining you out of your own stuff.
And put you in jail if you don't do this and do that. Man, you best get out of here with that nonsense.
And I'm going to put something on the table real quick.
Put it out there.
This something else that I've been saying when I do my live.
And I'm going to keep on saying it until we can start understanding this. Taxation without representation. So why are we still paying taxes? And my thing is this, if enough of us stop, what are they going to do? Are they going to come arrest all of us? If enough of us stop doing certain things, they cannot corral all of us. And it's time for us to really start thinking what we can do with our money besides giving it back to them, because the taxes that we're paying, we are watching them right now reparate Ukrainians and reparate these Afghan people that they've invited over here. Not only that, they just signed another bill. Biden, Ain't Shit Joe, and In Hiding Harris just signed another bill to give Ukraine another, I think it was like $35 billion, 35-point-something billion dollars to be exact.
And all of that that's an intimidation tactic that they're using on the minds of the people.
And not all of that is going to the country to aid in weaponry and all of that. Some of that money is allotted for them Ukrainians that's coming over here.
When
Ice Cube was talking about the contract with Black America, Biden and when you sit down at the table with him, who did? Trump.
You don't need no contract.
And a lot of people knocked him for sitting at the table with Trump, but Trump was willing to listen. Ain't shit.
No,
Trump was pandering. He wasn't really listening. He was pandering, but at least he
allowed him to sit there and tell him what the plan was.
Yeah, but that still was an agenda.
True. But
and the Democrats got mad because they didn't do it, and they tried to pariah Ice Cube, but you can't cancel Ice Cube with me because that's my brother.
Right. And see, the thing that I'm getting at is when we was trying to talk reparations with Ain't Shit Joe and In Hiding Chucks and Pearls Harris, they wasn't trying to talk reparations. And she don't even really now, since she has been in office, she's a Pacific Islander. She don't even claim
you mean
her
he
blackness
is Pacific
now.
Islander. You mean he's
I'm
a
fine
Pacific
with that.
Islander.
I don't want her to claim us anyway.
Exactly.
I know that's right.
Exactly.
Me either, brother.
But the same
amen, and I
that
say
we,
to that.
The
and
same
I said that
money
from the
that they've given them Ukrainians,
right,
they could have given us, but I don't guess we deserve it. So I'm just
They showed us something during the pandemic, man. They showed us that if they want to, they could print up $20 trillion and hand that shit out right now if they wanted to.
They sure did.
There you
they
go.
Sure did, brother.
There you
That's
go.
What they showed.
They showed
sure
us
did.
That.
They didn't do anything
what we have
they
to do
to.
Is accept. We got to stop hoping against hope and kneeling and praying to some stars, because ain't nothing up there that they talking about. They making money off of the God that they talk about is a moneymaker here. And it's used to keep everybody humble, and it's used to keep governments, from feeling bad about the bad shit that they do. When they execute somebody for killing somebody else, that's just murder begetting murder.
Right.
Yeah, because they're harnessing that energy is what they're doing. See, they don't want people to understand the black magic that they're practicing.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe in fairy tales. What I look at is the reality of shit. And, in order for me not to go out here and put a foot in everybody's ass, I'm trying to wake my people up. Rather than shit on them, I'm trying to help mine.
Yeah, right. Well, we with you, brother, because you said something a while ago, babe. We with you on that. And all of it, and all of this that they're putting out, like someone just said, actually, it's just an illusion full of confusion. And they got the sheep leading them to the slaughterhouse without the... Anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Hey, y'all, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to leave the conversation.
It's the land of confusion, and they did it on purpose. And as long as you're confused, then you can't function. When you're confused, all you can do is sit still and hope shit clear up. When you get dizzy, what do? You sit the fuck down or lay down. You don't even know you're doing it. But you dizzy, right?
Yeah.
And your mind ain't right, so what do? You lay down.
Hey, y'all. I'm sorry. I got to go. I have definitely enjoyed this, and we got to get together. And, Kevin, my name is Kim. Melvin, we definitely need to talk some more because I'm telling you, you said some good things tonight. You got me feeling happy. I'm hopeful.
Me too.
So I'm going to leave the conversation just like that. Thank y'all very much, Melvin. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you as well. I appreciate you
all
both.
Right.
You're welcome to my number. You know Melvin. Melvin will give it to you. If you text me, I'll lock in. You know what I got? I'm not selling what I got. Everything I got is free.
I know
that. Well,
right.
See,
too.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm just saying. Okay, let me stop. All right, y'all. Thank y'all. Y'all have a good night.
You too. Right. Peace. Be safe. Out
all
here.
Right, we'll talk to you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Well, how long we got, Melvin? A few more minutes. We gonna close out.
Yeah, I got about 10 more minutes on here.
Well, I'm proud of you brothers. I'm really proud of you all. And people across the diaspora is actually, people are actually our people. And when I mean our people, I mean Africa, I mean America, I mean Jamaica. I mean people are actually talking and having panel talks about coming together in many ways. So once we get all the ugly out of the way, because we are going through a transitional time, because if we wasn't, we wouldn't be here talking like we're talking right now. And I'm just proud to hear you all speak tonight. And, Kevin, I am very, very, I mean, you just don't know how much my spirit is just jumping up and down to hear you say what you just said a few moments ago. Because we have been saying that this money system has got to go. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a bloody cracker today, and he said something, and I that's what he was, y'all. That's what he called himself, bloody something. And he said that, and I said to him, talking about he love black people. I said, baby, you can switch that word around. No, sir, because love is too close to evil spelled backwards. We're talking about, well, how can we help the black people? I said, dismantle your system. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, just what I said. Dismantle your system and set money free. You know,
right.
You know what I'm
personally,
saying.
Personally, I would
that's
like,
what I told
him. I mean, if he love us so damn much, then what is he doing to help us?
That's what I said. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Tom Bad. I said, you don't. I said, you
because,
can't tell
you
me
know,
that.
Everything I love, I work to protect that shit and
exactly.
Be willing to take one for it. So what is he, you know,
exactly.
How far is he
yeah.
Willing to go?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know
right.
What I told him? I said, well, you can go and dismantle your system. Is what you? What do you mean by that? I said, just what I said. Dismantle your system and set money free, because you can't be for me. Like I showed you,
yeah.
Tell him. I said, this doesn't make no sense. So what is happening is right now they're trying to distract us on every level with this thing, and I'm not going to call no because I don't want to get off into that too deeply, but even with this thing that just happened now, what they're trying to do is on the news on everywhere, and I don't really watch the news until I come down to my grandmother's house, but they're showing a lot of, if you can, if you will, our people being against each other and doing atrocious things that's out of the norm or something like that. I said, no, y'all. We need to handle our own. We need to handle up on our own. Don't get distracted by what they're putting out there, because all of this is doing is trying to stop us from moving forward and to take us and suppress us in a way of by being depressed. So if they think if they can depress us, they can continue to suppress us. I said, we're not doing that, because what we're going to do is we're going to handle up on our own. So I was telling someone, I said, don't get distracted by what just happened. Although this is a notorious act and this is a very sick and demented act, somebody is deeply behind this thing. And they did it.
I'm bothered that they ain't talking about the black girl that got killed in Mexico.
Yeah, she's from Charlotte. And they ain't talking about her, but
they keep putting them four white kids from Idaho up on the goddamn screen all the time.
Yeah, but they're talking about that on another level. They're trying to get it where people can really be attracted. But that's what I'm talking about, though. And I'm saying I don't even want to miss the name right now because I'm saying my thing is I think on a whole nother level, that innocent one, let her rise up on the third day and slaughter all their asses. That's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to leave that alone. Because this right here was very well constructed, and it would do it for a reason. Because don't you find it strange that something this notorious would be going on now that the black people are coming together and they're trying to rise up out of this atrocity and out of this sick mindset? So yeah, there's going to be a lot of things we're going to be hearing on the news that they think can take us away from our focus and everything. But yeah, we're gonna have to do something and twist that around and make sure that we don't, you know, be brought down by some of this stuff. And you know, our condolences to her family and everything. But like I said to another friend, yeah, she just need to rise up in the spiritual world and come back and do what she got to do with that, because that's crazy. And our people need to handle up and start getting, you know, some things in place to take care of some things.
The best thing we can do is create our own so that people see that it can be done.
Exactly.
We keep working with their system, and we keep figuring out how to maneuver in their system.
Yeah.
It turns us into them.
Right. We need
it turns us into them.
Right.
We're not us anymore. We're them, and that's what I want to come back to us.
And we want to come back to us. That's right. That's exactly right.
100%
in agreement. Right.
I don't want to know how to work within their system because their system ain't never
either.
Worked for me.
It ain't never worked for us. That's what I'm just saying. We need to come out of there and do our own thing. And we'll handle up on our own people. So when our own people make mistakes like that, we handle up. We don't need you in our business and telling us what, oh, this is that and they do this and they did not. No. Now we need to.
You know, Kyrie apologized, right?
Yeah, to them people or what? See, all that.
And at the same time, Kanye West got to sell $20 hoodies to keep money coming in.
Yeah, right. Don't you find that suspicious? Look at, don't you find that suspicious?
I'm sorry, it's funny to me because they're the ones that supposedly made it. I'm thinking Kanye was the first motherfucker that ran up to Trump's ring when he became president. And I'm looking at you now. And they showed you real quick how quick they could take it away from you.
Of course. Everybody is a victim of the system. Everybody has been a victim of their system. It's just
so
that you need to recognize that you're the victim.
We got to wait till he get his money right.
God, that's funny.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's
oh,
just
my
funny God. To me.
And they, and look here, and they were supposed to think that them doing that to Kanye was supposed to break down the masses of the black people. Like, boy, please, we know y'all trick. We know that y'all give our people the rug
Kanye
to fly on.
Kanye wasn't doing nothing for us. Kanye was doing what
he was doing for them.
That's why I had to laugh at it when it all blew up in his
face.
That's
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Kyrie was trying to do something for us, but he bent to the pressure because they kept forcing him to acknowledge the Anti-Defamation League is a very racist organization. And whenever they say something, it seems like the system listens, the media listens, and then everybody want to be mad at this man because he did something that others do all the time. He shared a link.
Yep.
That's how all of this got started. So I bring another thing. Concern.
Because
I wish
because
that he
the
had
truth,
held off like he did with the vaccine. He stood his ground on that, and they had to give him his fucking money. Whether they wanted to or not, they had to give him his money. They had took from him for not taking the vaccine. So I'm like, you stood your ground and you took the chance. What got you weak this time? Because there's some Jews that own that stadium. Because it's a Jew that runs the NBA. Is that why? Because they're not even really Jews. Those are Europeans disguised as Jews. They're not Jews.
Right.
We're the Jew-Semitic people.
Right.
So for all of that shit they said, they even got us talking about, oh, he's anti-Semitic. That means he's anti-self. That don't even make sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because they're not Semitic.
Yeah,
just because you dropped
the
some Europeans in Israel, in Palestine, and changed and did all of that, that doesn't make that doesn't make them Semitic. That makes them carpetbaggers. They don't belong
the
there.
Truth of the matter is the truth hurting their ass. And the truth is coming out. And really, I got to finally watch that DVD,
the documentary,
in its entirety. Hebrews, the Negroes. It's almost 4 hours long, but it's chock full of truth.
It's
telling the world who black people really are. And
that's
what
the
they
problem.
Can't
They've
stand.
Never done it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they've never done it. They worried about critical race theory rather than being the truth in history. You know,
exactly.
They worried about the wrong shit. And the thing is if you told the truth from the beginning, then this country would have a different mindset.
Yep, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And maybe even a better outcome.
Yep.
But we're going to be all right, though. The way we keep talking now, we on our way. It ain't no stopping us now, like that song say. Maybe we ought to go off with that. Ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move. That's true. Our minds are opening up, and everybody, and like you said earlier, Kevin, keep on talking to the sheep and find the lions among the sheep because they there.
Well, the thing is they're all lions. They've just been told that they were sheep.
That's true. You're right on that, brother. You're right.
Yep.
You know, and if we just have lions, then what happens when it's time to do what we got to do? There ain't no sheep. There ain't nothing else around. Everybody's a lion. If everybody's a lion, then we can make some shit happen because then when we roar, everybody feels it.
Okay.
But she can make noise all fucking night. Ain't nobody going to do nothing but go out, pop a gun, and watch them get quiet.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You talking?
Yeah, but you know, I'm also cursed, though, because there's this thing called the Cassandra syndrome, where you're cursed by knowing the truth, but nobody will believe you.
No, you got to talk to the ones that's in your room. We believe you. It's just like me. I can talk all day long. I just found out one tonight. My cousin came by, and we was actually on the same page. Brother was talking some stuff. I was like, wait a minute, what? Because every other cousin I talked to can't get with me. Like, what? I didn't even know you knew this information. Or we was talking about what? So, yeah, we out here. We all come together. So it's gonna be all right. All right, y'all. I guess I'm gonna get ready to go too. It's been a pleasure talking to the team tonight.
I want to thank Lamont and Paditra, Sister Kim, Sister Queenie, my brother Kevin. Thank y'all for coming through tonight. We're gonna have to pick up on this topic again as well. And get Brother Lamont and Sister Paditra back on the line again as well when they have some free time. But we're going to get to hook up offline with them as well. So, because everything don't need to be
like she said, we need to keep some of this stuff a secret. We don't have to tell everything. And I
no, we don't
that.
Need to do that. That's another thing, talking too much, letting everybody
I
know
agree
stuff.
With that.
Yeah, something we need to keep our mouth shut and move on it. And they annoy it when we strike.
Yeah, right, right. But I appreciate you all. Appreciate all that listened online. And been another good one. I'm out of time, so right. I'm going to just end it there. Hope y'all all have a good night. Have a good rest of your week. Like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify because we all got a key. I'm out. Peace, power, and love.
Revolution
all right.
is in your DNA.
All right. All right. Power to that.
All right. All peace.
Right. All right.
The blue skies go. Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be, oil wasted on the oceans and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby by the night. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?